Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and today Shirley McNeil is stepping in for our lovely Caroline Allen. Hi, Shirley.
Hi there, everybody.
And so we're at the same place, the same session, station, doing the same things. Just we have a different lady here who's going to do the same thing.
The same lady that's going to do the same thing?
No, a different lady doing the same thing.
A different lady doing the same thing. Okay.
Well, you know, working with God, working in the quantum field.
Kind of all the same, huh?
Yeah, working with healing. And Carolyn Evers here reading from the Akashic Records. And so there might be somebody out there in the audience who wants to touch spirit. You want to make some connection with your guardian angel. Give us a call. We'll see what we can do. We know you got one or two.
Yep, some of us have several.
Indeed we do, and the more guardian angels we have, the more responsibilities we have. So don't pray for more guardian angels.
Don't pray for more. No, just pray for those that you've got are very active.
Yeah, we know how to keep them busy.
Oh, we do.
So, folks, if you're in the U.S., we have a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. Does that sound familiar to you? Have you been on the air before listening to us? If not, if that number's not familiar, maybe you're from Canada. And the toll-free number from Canada is 888-815-9756. Charlene, before we get into some things that I want you to discuss, I kind of want to pick up where we left off last Wednesday. We never really did get to this.
Okay. Never
people called in and said help before we had a chance to it.
Yeah.
This came from a reading that someone had asked me to do for them, and I'm really just going to paraphrase this. It had to do with the kind of work that you do in the quantum field. And from the Akashic Records, we got this, that the subtle bodies are next. Well, see, I guess they don't want to hear this. And your name, caller.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
My name is Sharon.
Sharon?
Yes.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, I'd like to get in contact with my angels.
Oh, okay, we hit a nerve there. Now, let me ask you a question, Sharon, because I think that this is important. Do you have a feeling or a sense that you're connected to the other side in some way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you feel the protection?
Yes.
You call in your angels every day?
Every morning, every night.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, when you do, do you have a sense of either seeing them, feeling them, or intuiting them?
I have a sense of their protection. That's about it. I do have a sense of their protection, my guardian angel.
Right.
And I had given them a name, but I don't know if it's the right name.
Well, you know, one of the things with names is through the different dimensions, as languages change, sounds change. So what might sound familiar in this dimension, in a higher dimension, it might not be the same. So names can be confusing. By the way, what do you call your guardian angel?
Josie.
Josie?
Yes.
I like that. So I guess you feel like this is a feminine guardian angel.
Well, I figured Josie could be a boy or it could be a girl, you know?
Ah.
I think they're androgynous anyway.
Yes, they are. But what I have found is, especially with the cherubim that I work with, yes, they are androgynous, but with different people, and when I say people, I don't mean individuals on one planet, but different groups of people on different planetary systems, they will blend or lean more to either the male or the feminine. And with the cherubim, they have this sense of a nurturing aspect towards the human race. So they show themselves to me as a feminine entity. because it is like a mother's sense towards protecting and taking care of the child. Now, let's see how your guardian angel wants to go forward with this. Here's what I'm seeing. Your guardian angel is powerful, and actually, she is showing herself to me. Your angel is showing herself to me as female. Now, what you're saying is true. They're androgynous, but there is this aspect of nurturing, and so she is. Your angel showing herself to me as the feminine aspect. Color-wise, do you ever see colors?
Do I see colors? No.
No, okay. Well, just concentrate on this. She is showing her entire, around her entire entity is a very, well, in the core, it is a deep pink. More, not quite magenta in the center, but a deep pink. And as that color radiates out, it becomes more delicate. She is showing me this aspect of this great love that she has towards you. And along the outer edges of this pink, there is some tinge of yellow, and there is tinges of white along the outside of that. And, of course, in this particular case, the yellow is representing the great wisdom. And what she is suggesting is that you concentrate on the color. She is also suggesting that... inhale and exhale one or two times so that you relax a little bit more. You know, sometimes
okay.
you're on the radio and you're not as relaxed as you can be. Just inhale, exhale, release it, relax, so that you have a better sense of her.
How about now?
It's a little better.
Can you speak up just a little, too?
It's a little better.
Okay.
You might try another time. Relax a little deeper. She is suggesting that you have a sense of your heart chakra. See it as a glow and have the sense of the threefold flame in the heart area,
okay.
which is the pink, the yellow, and a beautiful shade of blue, almost an aqua, but not quite. And it twirls around, doesn't come straight up. It kind of circles around. She says, have a sense of that, that this flame, threefold flame within you.
I think, is it the violet transmuting flame?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The violet transmuting flame, are you
No,
thinking?
This is a threefold flame in the heart center.
In the
it
heart
is actually, if you just put your consciousness in what you would perceive to be your heart center, you don't have to have the exact place, just the intention. What is in there is like three little tongues of flame coming up out of the heart center. One color is a pink. One
okay.
color is a yellow, the other color is like a delicate blue, leaning more towards an aqua. And as this flame comes up, it kind of twirls around a little so that it doesn't come straight up. It kind of blends into one another. This is a little bit different than the transmuting flame that you're speaking of.
Okay.
Concentrate on that if you can mentally. If you don't see those colors, focus on that. What she is saying is this is the connection between you and her. And she is also suggesting that when you call her morning and evening, And whenever you do call her from the sense of the threefold flame, because there will come a point when you will actually see this. It's interesting. She wants you to build this up and increase that activity in the heart chakra so that it your heart opens up more. Okay. Now, that was her message to you as to what she would like for you to do. It would help your spiritual development is what she is saying.
All right.
Now, she is going to draw closer to you so that you have a connection with her. Just put your consciousness, your focus at your back. In other words, like if you're sitting down listening to this, just put your consciousness to your back. I'm assuming you're sitting there.
Okay, yes, I am.
Because she is standing behind you at this moment. And she is taking what would be her right hand, putting it on your left shoulder. And she is saying, concentrate on that for a second. Her touch will be light, almost like a breeze. Do you sense a difference in that shoulder from the other one?
No.
She's coming a little closer. Just put your consciousness there. She does want you to connect to her essence. Try inhaling again and letting it go and relaxing. Like I said, it's hard when you're talking on the phone. She's right there. Can you feel that on your shoulder now? Some connection.
Yes, I do.
Good. What does it feel like?
It feels like a little tingling.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little feather.
Light, yes, a feather.
Yes.
How wonderful. You know this. It's not something I have to tell you. The two of you have a great devotion to one another. She wants to remind you that she has been with you through all of your lifetimes.
I know.
How do you know that?
Intuitively, actually.
Uh-huh.
Because I thank them in the morning and in the evening for watching out for me.
That's beautiful. She is also furthering that and this is true with other souls too. That when your soul was called into form, she was assigned to you then. And she has been with you, as we said, through all of your lifetimes. And when you transitioned to the other side, she was with you each time you transitioned to help you go through that period of time when you were judging the past lifetime.
Hasn't gotten a break, has he?
No. No, we keep them pretty busy.
I guess so.
It's a good thing.
Yes. Well, Sharon, was there anything else? Were you just calling in for that, or did you need a healing since we have Charlene on the other line?
I was wondering, at night, I also say to my guardian angel, can they take you to different places if you request them at night? I always say I would like to go to Saint Germain's retreat.
Oh, now let me make sure I understand your question. You're asking if your guardian angel would take you to Saint Germain's retreat. Is that the question?
That's my question. That's what I say every night. Take me to Saint Germain's retreat.
Okay. Let's see if we can get an answer to that. actually, your guardian angel has stepped back, and the one who has come forward is Saint Germain himself.
You're kidding me. Wow.
Yes. I don't, what he is showing me is just the face, and it is his energy. I want you to put your consciousness in front of you,
okay,
and see if you can fathom in some fashion his energy through the purple flame,
oh,
or
absolutely.
The violet flame, whichever you...
That's very easy to do.
Okay. Now,
I practice that every day, too, morning and night.
I think that's why he came. He's sending you this message. Now, if you have called forth his energy and you're seeing the flame, do you see his face now?
Yes. That's easy.
Okay, my darling, do you see his hand extending it towards you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What do you think he's saying to you right now? Do you hear his message?
I can't say that I do. I can see that.
Uh-huh. Well, what he is saying is that you have been there. You have been under instruction. And the time will come when you will remember it. It is settling into your subconscious. It will take time to come into your conscious mind. And he is saying that it would be a good idea if you take some notes of some of your dreams. Are you doing this now, Sharon?
Yes, I am. And that was another question to you. At night before I go to bed, I always say that I would like to lucid dream, and that's one of the places I would like to remember going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, what he is suggesting is that you take some notes of what, like when you do this, when you go to sleep, take some notes of what you perceive that night. You'll start to put together some pictures, and it will help you bring these lessons into your consciousness.
Okay.
And he is adding one thing. He's adding another thing to this, another thought that, and it's the same question, or not a question, you might say a same fact that a lot of us hear. Many are called and few are chosen. Those that are chosen are those that put forth the attempt to connect, who bring their love to us. We never refuse them. So, Sharon, it sounds to me, dear, like you should just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Well, that's a good thing. Blessings to you, Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Charlene, maybe we can get back to this other message while somebody else decides to to call.
Okay.
In this reading, they were talking about the subtle bodies that you see quite easily around the physical, and that belongs to spirit, of course, and the physical body is in this world. And what I found so fascinating about this information is that the physical body is going through the linear time, meaning one event after another. The subtle bodies, because it is of the spiritual domain, where all time is simultaneous, that is why that carries all of the different energies from all the different lifetimes. And so events from the past can get stuck in these in the subtle body, which needs to be cleared, which is what you and Caroline work with on the air. I thought that was an interesting way to explain it so people could understand.
I agree with you. Yeah. Because we have to have, we're really dealing in two dimensions, aren't we?
Yes. Well, we have another caller. We must have touched a nerve. And your name?
Hi, my name is Tony.
Tony?
Yes.
Hi, Tony. What can we do for you, dear?
I don't know. I was just listening to you on the internet. I live in France, and actually, I'd like to have a child, a baby. So I don't know how. I mean,
okay. Let's ask the question. How does this sound, Tony?
Yes.
Is there some physical reason why I'm not able to conceive at the moment? Would that be a question?
Yes.
Charlene, is there anything that you can help Tony with in this area? Tony would like to have a child, and she hasn't conceived yet, and perhaps there is some physical blockage for her conceiving. How long have you been trying to conceive, Tony?
Well, just even to meet somebody to create a family, I guess.
Oh, so you haven't met someone yet?
Yeah, right.
We're kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Right.
I thought maybe you were married and had been trying to conceive for a while and hadn't. Charlene, scratch that, darling.
Sorry, Charlene, sorry.
You're not in there yet,
I'm
darling.
I'm not in there yet.
I'm
okay,
sorry.
Tony, let's do this, darling. Let's
okay.
go to the how does this sound to you?
He kind of wants a reading from you.
Yes, we go to the Akashic Records and see what they have to say about that. How does that sound?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Tony, have you listened to this? You haven't listened to the show before, have you?
No, I have not.
Okay. What I do is mentally go to the center of the cosmos where the cherubim are, and everyone's records of everything that they've done in all of their lifetimes is held by the cherubim. That's why I call it the Universal Akashic Record. And there is a cherubim there right now, and she is holding what appears to be a book. They show it to us in that form, though we know our records really are not in a book, so to say, but it's easier for people to understand that because what it truly is a vibration that the cherubim are able to bring forth and read.
Yeah.
But she is standing there with your book, and the cover of this book is brown, which means you were created on the pink ray of love. All souls are created on different color, under a certain color, a sound, and a designation by Source. So when Source called the different souls in, there was a reason for their calling.
Okay.
And most of the souls were created under this pink ray, which you were. And so it would be very helpful if in your work you were doing something that had to do with love. For instance, a person could love books and they're a librarian, or love to help people, nurse them to you know, from being sick to being well. So a profession or a job of some sort that dwelt in an area of love would be very good for you, because you were called in on the love ray. Now, the question at hand, though, is this desire to have a child. And so the cherubim has your record, and she's pointing to the section that has to do with your mission, which I thought it would be under that section. So one, you have several missions, but one of your missions is to bring through a very special child, and this child is She is showing me this child coming in on what would be considered an indigo path. It is one of the enlightened children who will be coming in and helping humanity by bringing in very special information from the higher levels. This was your mission. You have had a connection with this child in other dimensions, not here on Earth, but there is a relationship between you and this child because you came from that dimension also that this child is coming from.
Okay.
So it is the reason, Tony, why you feel this desire to have a child, because your soul understands that this is your mission.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So what the cherubim are, so that is your mission. You will have the child. But, of course, the male aspect is very important, too.
Yeah.
You need the male aspect to cooperate with you to bring this child in. The male aspect that you will meet is a highly evolved, spiritual, inclined soul also. And it is because of his spirituality and your spirituality that you will create the kind of setting for this advanced child to come into, to be nurtured. So
yeah.
You will bring in that child, Tony. It will be a special child.
Okay.
You will meet this individual when the timing is right. So blessings to you, dear. All your dreams in this respect will come to fruition.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're so beautiful and sweet. Very
yes, it is.
Energy. Thank you.
Well,
thank
we're glad to be here. And are you a new listener?
Yes, I just discovered you, and I just clicked you on a few minutes ago and started listening to you, and like that. So,
well, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're on every other Saturday, and then Charlene and I are on the air every Wednesday, Cosmic Connections, and I am on Sundays. I'll be on the air tomorrow under the messenger. So, you can call in at one of those other times also.
Okay.
So we're real glad that you joined BBS, Tony.
Yes, thank you. Me too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye.
So, Charlene, the other thing that this reading had said is that we come in, many of our family members and friends, we have journeyed with them through many lifetimes, and so there's energies that need to be cleared, challenges. And that is what you're working very hard with, you and Caroline, clearing the challenges from past lifetimes. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because as the years have gone by, we were doing some clearings for, past lives and changing the DNA in an individual, making sure that the chromosomes are being balanced in a God way, so that there's the God intelligence, and then clearing the subconscious of the negative information and replacing it with the positive. But it's been very interesting to me in the last while, where God said, make sure that you clear the energy fields not only for that individual, but also clear the energy field for past ancestors in that DNA. Make sure it's done with them as well, because otherwise that energy is left here upon this universal field, because that's what we're here. We have a vibrational frequency of sound, and it's left here, and so what we're doing is clearing not only the individual, like myself, but also the same issue or feelings and thoughts that ancestor had. And we're taking it out of the cellular memory and replacing it with a positive.
Charlene, something occurred to me as you were discussing this. there are mothers out there in the audience listening, I am sure, who have lost a child, either one that they haven't brought to term and had like a miscarriage, or what's coming to me is children who were in the military who have lost, I'm hearing Afghanistan. Would you send out some healing? Let us send out some healing, and if you can, there's a couple issues there. The people who might have lost children along all of these areas, whether it's in the military, whether it's a child who hasn't come to term, or whether it is the DNA where this grief and sorrow has been in the past because of these past events, I'm having this very strong sense there's a lot of individuals there, not only just on this line, but there's a line of them on the other side that wants this cleared. You willing to do this, dear?
No, explain it. It's more than one question you're asking me. What is it?
The question is, there are individuals who need to be cleared of grief and sadness because of the loss of a child.
Okay. Just in one form or another is what you're saying.
Yes. Some of them have lost children with miscarriages. There is at least one who has lost a child in Afghanistan, whether it's in an automobile accident here in the States. There are some people out there that need to have a clearing of this grief and sadness.
Now, is this from just babies, or are we talking about children in general?
Children, babies. Going from in vitro to children in general.
Okay. Because like we had the ones that were in Illinois right now, that's a tremendous grief for those parents.
Thank you for bringing that up. Let's clear that also.
Right. Because what I was saying, here's parents that sent children out with expectations of them getting a higher education. And many of them are grieving over the fact that maybe I shouldn't have even let them go. And yet the time frame was probably right, but it's very difficult to take on the responsibility that you could have done something different, but maybe you couldn't have. There's a lot of us that have left this earth at a certain time, really kind of made a covenant that we'd go at that time because there would be some positive aspect that would come from it. And so they could have done that. Doesn't release the feelings that most parents or mothers would have for having that child leave. And it doesn't release that because it still is a vibrational frequency of the sorrow and sadness and the sense of loss that is there.
Charlene, as you were discussing that, we've had somebody join us.
Oh, okay.
Mother Mary. She is standing there with the Christ child in her arms. She is going to join you.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go in and we're going to make it so that the mother, with that love, that she is attached to that child. We're not going to sever that love. That is never to be.
And
if somebody says they're going to sever that love, don't deal with it. That is an eternal principle, is that love is always there.
Mother Mary's also suggesting that those who have not been involved in the grief of the loss of a child to send their thoughts and add their love to Mother Mary's healing so that all of this can be sent out at the same time. Okay, darling, it's
Let's
your turn.
Let's do that, okay?
Yes.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. while Charlene is doing this, Mother Mary is reminding all of us that this was a great grief for her also, to see her child crucified, that she brought him into the world, she nurtured him. There was this very close connection, and she had to watch as he was crucified. And so what she is saying is she understands this pain, she understands this loss, and for those mothers and fathers who are out, and she's including fathers here, for those mothers and fathers who have lost children on some level, to seek her out, and she will offer personal solace. She is also suggesting that this recent shooting at the school, this she wishes to work for healing for that also, and for people, as you are listening to this, to send your love and compassion there also, that there's a lot of healing that needs to be done. So if you would, imagine your love and your compassion moving out, not only in these situations, but into the planet itself. There is use for your love there also.
What she's showing is the love is never a loss. It's always, it's like it's an eternal circle. And that love will be, she's showing me it's like an eternal circle,
mm-hmm,
that goes around for eternity. It will not be severed. That love is so deep. For those that have feel like it is a loss, it's not a loss. It's a continuation of love.
Well, I would like, and that's absolutely true, Charlene, and I would just like to add to that in this sense, that when a woman brings forth a child, she has a vibration that she carries in her physical body, and that vibration is united with the child's individual vibration, and so there is a recognition, no matter where these two individuals go, whether they move between the dimensions, they're in the same dimension, they will always recognize that because they were both joined together in that one vibration during that birthing. So even though you might not see that child now, they will always recognize you. You will always recognize them, and that relationship is never lost.
And sometimes you'll find what happens is, let's say that a child dies right after birth. A lot of times that child will still, in some other way, will come back in at another time to fulfill its calling or its commitment for whatever it was to learn. So because of something that occurred, that child might come back in, maybe even as a grandchild.
I have seen that sometimes coming back
too,
in the same mother. I mean, you know, in the same generation.
Yes, and I've seen where, like, a grandmother or a grandson, let's say it was a son that passed away, there's a grandson that comes in and there's, like, an immediate connection.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they don't even know why. But it might be that that child's come back in. That isn't for us to say what it is, but sometimes we're finding that occurs a lot because you're finding the children that are coming in will say, "Oh, well, you were my mom before," and
mm-hmm,
they'll go, "No," they'll say, "Yes, you were."
Well, Charlene, I would like to thank you for clearing that. I would also like to thank anyone who is listening,
right,
to have been a part of this participation, because your loving thoughts in is extremely important in any area of the world where there is trauma of some sort.
Yes, and that'll help those that have just had children that died there in Illinois and mm-hmm. help them to have a sense of peace, that everything is going to be fine, you know, and especially to know that that child of theirs that just left is going to be okay. They'll
yes.
just have a sense of peace that they haven't experienced before because of the work that everybody on the air today did for them.
Charlene, are there any of those individuals in Illinois who need to be led to the light?
Well, yeah. I went in to work on that the other day.
Okay.
Because when you have a trauma like that, or even those that are, you know, in Pakistan or some of those that are leaving so quickly, some of them don't really know that they've left.
Yeah.
And so those that are light workers or anybody that chooses can go in and help them to go from this earthly pain and go back to God. And you just have to send them God's love and send them back knowing that they'll be loved unconditionally. So many people have a tremendous fear. When I'm working with somebody individually, it's kind of interesting how many people I have that have such a fear of God himself that he's going to punish them because of something that they've done while they were here on this earth. And it could be just something when they were a child and they took a candy bar from a store and they feel like that God's going to, you know, condemn them for the rest of their life. And they don't see God as an unconditional God. They see him as a conditional God that they have to measure up to everything they've been told. And we don't seem as one that is eternally loving and kind and nurturing and caring, because he sees that we're going to have experiences. And some of them we're not going to like, and so we don't repeat them. And there's others that we have experienced and think, well, that made me feel better and made me feel good, so I'll repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves us very. I wish I could extend to everybody that is listening the love that God has for us.
While we're talking about your work, Charlene, why not give your number out now for those people who might want to contact you privately, because some things they might not want to discuss on the air or it's not appropriate.
Yeah, because a lot of it, that what we do is clear some of the things that have happened to you in this lifetime. And you'll find it the things that have occurred to you from conception, because if you're doing clearing somebody from conception to birth, that's where energy starts. And when I do a clearing for somebody from conception to birth, it's amazing how their lives change, because that's where vibrational frequency of sound, or how people feel about our birth. And so if you're clearing that, then it's amazing how their self-esteem and their self-worth and the things that they create in their life after that really change considerably. So be aware that sometimes the pattern that you're in right now is probably the pattern that you've had all of your lifetime, plus it was probably a repeat from past lives. And so once God goes in there and clears the past life of that pattern, and in your DNA from your ancestral line, it's amazing how much your life really does change. Oh, you wanted my telephone number.
Well, if you want to give it to us, I'm not sure you wanted to.
Blah, 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 Shirley.
Well, I thought maybe you were expecting us to use our ESP.
Okay, I'm on track again. 801 944-9346.
And do you live in Alaska? What time zone are you in?
Oh, Mountain Standard.
We don't want people calling you at 1 in the morning.
Got me on track out there. Blah, 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 Shirley.
And I would like to invite people to go to my website at www.carolynevers.com, and that's carolynevers.com. And you might be interested in our Voices from Heaven. They're conference calls where we call someone in and we interview them. I ask some of my own questions, and I take questions from those who join us on the line, and the information is remarkable. This last one that we had was with Yeshua, and the questions that people had were quite remarkable. And imagine if you are sitting at a table across from Yeshua, what questions would you have asked him? Well, for the month of March, we will have Master Kasumi has volunteered to come. So if you are one who loves Master Kasumi or have worked with him, come join us at our Voices from Heaven. Bring your questions. You will love it. And then coming up the end of this month, our regular conference call will be with Archangel Michael. He is going to be instructing us on the standing wave, the same kind of standing wave that is in the pyramid, and he's going to show us how to use it. So that is going to be most exciting. So that
March what?
We do this on Thursday. The second Thursday of the month is the Voices from Heaven, and then the fourth Thursday of the month is the conference call. And thank you for asking, Charlene. I used to have individual dates all the time, and by knowing that we have them at the same day each month helps people with their planning. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, because they'll want to know what day of the week to call.
Well, it is under, when you go up to the right-hand corner, it's conference calls, and if you hit the February schedule, everything is explained there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've had some interesting phone calls, have, I believe, done some remarkable healing. Again, call us. If you're in the U.S., it's a toll-free number, 877-876-5227. And you might be interested in a healing. You might be interested in having Charlene work with the quantum field to place something in there that you want to have come into your lifetime, a particular goal. She can work with that also, or you might want some information from your Akashic Records, which is held by the cherubim in the center of the cosmos, or you might want a connection of some sort with your guardian angel, or you might have another question along that line. I don't know why Archangel Michael is coming into my consciousness, but he is.
Oh,
is there somebody out there that has a connection with Archangel Michael? Give us a call, 887-876-5227. So, Charlene, what else is happening? I'm really glad that you brought up the healing for that shooting at the school. You said you were working with that earlier
part of
in the
it
week.
Is sometimes people were finding that sometimes people die so quickly that they don't really know that they have died. And so sometimes they'll stay earthbound. And if there some of people, obviously not those students, but some of them will stay earthbound because they choose to stay here and still cause all kinds of problems, right, and trouble. But there's others that are left, and yet it's been so sudden that they are not aware that they've left, and they don't know what's going on around them. So when something like that happens, you have to go in immediately and just, you know, tell them that they have died and take them back to God.
Is that what you were working with earlier in the week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have them go back and taking some of those that have died over, you know, the, in Iraq and Pakistan, some of those that have been having some real problems there, too, in order to leave so that they can be in a good place.
Well, are they reluctant? Well, like people who have been in war-torn countries, are they, and they do die, are they reluctant to go over to the other side because they have some fear surrounding the issue?
Yes, that's why I guess that's why I got off on that, was because so many of them, if you approach them and say that, you know, you've died and it's time to go back to the Creator, the one that created us all, they really are in such a state of fear of judgment and harsh judgment that they fear what is going to happen to them. And
now,
so
when you say harsh
they
judgment,
they don't want to leave.
When you say harsh judgment, Charlene, what do you mean? Like this individual judging the world that was around them at the moment? Is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying that they feel like that if somebody's, let's say your higher self is God, okay, if they're brought up thinking, oh, you did that, now God's not going to love you, okay, or he's going to punish you, or you're going to go to hell.
You mean judgment of themselves.
Yes, and so they think God is judging them for what they've done incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're afraid to go for fear of that they're going to find out that they're going to, like some of them say, well, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. Well, why does anybody want to do that? So they're fearful of leaving. And so you almost have to talk to them and reassure them that everything is fine and God loves them or who their higher source is, and say, you know, you're loved dearly. You're loved unconditionally. God is not a conditional God. He loves you unconditionally because you are his essence. And because of that, he loves you very much. And so we're here to learn, and he understands that.
So let's talk about this a little bit, Charlene. If a soul has died and they don't go to the light, I mean, I have an idea of what happens to them, but maybe you can sort of explain this to those who are listening. What happens to that soul when they don't move over to the other side to the light?
Well, a lot of times they'll just stay, kind of stay earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we're finding this out is those that have died and then come back to give that message, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people in the last, I would say 20 years that have come, like Richie and, wait a minute. I was just thinking her name just a few minutes ago. But we have Brinkley, we have several of them that have died.
Near-death experience.
Right. Betty Eady. All of those started that process of when they died, they crossed over, they went to the other side, and they experienced what it was like to be crossed over. And they come back, and they're sent back. They say they want to stay, and God tells them, no, you got to go back. And they say, but I don't want to. They said, you must take the message back. The message is what you've seen and how much they're loved and how much they're cared about. And so many have come back with that near-death experience to bring back the message that God loves us. But people still, from childhood, if a parent is really angry with a child, they'll say some really cruel things, and the child believes it. So you almost, when they die and cross over, some of them are so fearful of leaving because they haven't incorporated that in their belief system yet, that they're afraid of the judgment that will be so harsh.
Well, all of that is true, dear, and I thank you for bringing that information forth. What I kind of was asking you was a tad bit different. In other words, a person dies, they don't go to the other side, they stay in spirit close to the earth, they watch events, but they can't participate in them in the sense that they don't have a body any longer.
Right.
They become interested in maybe events that would have surrounded their life if they had lived, for instance, their home or their parents or their school, or and they can't interact with that anymore, but they stand there and they watch and they want to participate. And it's hard for them unless they do actually go to the life. They're kind of like in a sense of limbo. So
yes, that's
people,
what my understanding is.
Yeah, people like you and others who do this work, it's very important work because the etheric does need to be cleared.
Yes, and sometimes what they'll do is you'll find that some of them were told too, is because they haven't, they'll find somebody that has that light and will attach to that light, hoping that that individual will send them back.
Mm-hmm.
But if that individual doesn't know to send them back, because they got to search around until they find that individual that will understand to send them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you send them through the portal to God and send them to His love. And they're always searching for that individual that will do that for them unless they're so fearful about leaving. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely, dear. Folks, give us a call, 877-876-5227. We had a two-hour show this afternoon. We have already passed through 1 hour of it. I know you sit back and you're interested in hearing what we're saying, but if you want to get in, have a clearing from Charlene, a healing, interested in your records, your mission, your angels, call before the next hour is up because it comes and goes so quickly.
You know, one of the other things maybe we need to mention, too, is the fact that if we're changing our belief systems, whether it's on a subconscious level or past life or DNA, we can actually change that because God's given us our free agency and free will to change those things that aren't working for us. A lot of people will say, well, that's the way it is and you can't change it. That isn't free will. It's only if you accept that. So now we can go in, and I've seen it happen with people so many times. Let's say you have a really difficult time. Let's say I have a fellow that's coming to see me, and he's just struggling to keep his business afloat. Well, you have to go in. When I say go in, you go into the quantum field, ask God what's going on, and get the information that it might have been a past life, but some of it could be that they were brought up with the idea to have success and wealth was a sin. So if that has to be cleared and pulled and canceled out of the past life information, out of the subconscious, out of the DNA, and change it and pull it out and put in the positive, I am successful. I enjoy being successful in my business. I bring in a lot of wonderful, positive clients. Then all of a sudden, their business starts to flourish because they don't have any negative vibrational frequency of blocks in the field, and that opens them up for prosperity and success. That's kind of an example of something that I've seen.
Well, I think it's a good example, Charlene. Looking at it from another perspective, sometimes we don't realize that we have a faulty attitude because we've had it for so long. We don't identify a particular pattern as being negative. And if you're in that situation, another way to look at it is if you're not happy with some of the results that you're getting in life, then it's time to think about making these kind of changes that you're talking
right.
about.
And the point that you're bringing up is the fact that it can be changed.
Yes.
And I had one young lady at this just was going to just ready to finish college, and she wasn't getting her assignments in. She wasn't doing well in class. So I had one of the professors that called and said, you know, she's done so well until at least 2 months before graduation, and now she's failing. And we just don't know what we can do to help her. We've tried. Would you take her and help her with it? So she came, and after about 2 or 3 times, all of a sudden I looked at her and I said, and what was your belief system about being educated? What were you told? And she said, my mother always said you're too stupid to learn anything. So what happened is, here she was learning all and apparently doing very well until graduation, and all of a sudden the subconscious clicked in and said, you're too stupid to learn anything, and it turned around and was sabotaging her graduation. Because our subconscious is very obedient to what it's been taught. And so she, her belief system was that she'd been taught all her life that she was too stupid to learn anything. And so all of a sudden her assignments weren't in. She was doing poorly in class. And she wasn't going to be graduating. So we went in and changed the subconscious, pulled out the information that was put in there, and put in the positive information. I am smart. I learn easily and quickly. I love my graduation. You put it in as if you already own it. In other words, I have graduated. I have enjoyed my graduation from college. And we named the college. And we put in the date that she was graduating. We put all that information. Because the subconscious doesn't have the capacity for reasoning, you pull out what it believes and put in the new information and changes, and she graduated.
Well, you know, there's another way of looking at that, too. People say that you materialize what you think.
But that is true.
But I'd like to make a little clarification of that. Consciously, you might want something, but if you have an attitude that is unconscious, that is being held in your subconscious, then you can sabotage your wants and desires.
Well, the subconscious is very powerful,
mm-hmm.
And what it's been said and taught becomes its truth. And so anytime on a conscious level, we're almost like we're fighting two battles. One is the conscious level and the other is the subconscious level. And sometimes that conscious level is losing out to the subconscious. And I've seen it happen so over and over again, not only with others, but with myself as well. And sometimes you, on a past life, let's say I was in class, one of the first things that she taught us was to release the oath of poverty that was taken many years ago, where everybody took all their commodities and they gave it to the church, to think that if they gave all that they had, that God would love them when they crossed over. And so they took the oath of poverty. And so they lived in poverty so that, I'm not just saying the church, sometimes it was with royalty. And, you know, it could have been different things. So that has to be pulled out of the past life and in the DNA.
Well, Charlene, let's take a break for a moment and send out an invitation. There might be someone in the audience who has been working on a particular goal and for one reason or another has not been able to materialize that. Let's invite them to give us a call here at 877-876-5227, and let's see if we can't find out what is behind the sabotage, so to speak, and see if we can turn that out around and correct it. So what do you think?
Well, I think that's our job, is to be able to make a person's life better, because that's what they choose, and God chooses you to have the best that you can have. And it doesn't matter where it's, it could be even in relationships. Maybe you keep having people that take advantage of you over and over and over again. But you'll find sometime, I call it the sphere of understanding, and that is from conception to about 5 to 8, that maybe there was a lot of that going on in an individual's life. And so you have to pull that out. Pull out the negative, replace it with the positive. It doesn't mean that it changes what really happened, but the subconscious can't analyze and prioritize what I'm trying to say is the reality. Because once you put in new information, it becomes its reality. And so then it goes into that. So it's fun to watch people change their relationships, their financial, or their success in business. I've seen families get put back together again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had one fellow, he hadn't seen his dad for years, and he called me one day because he said, well, I really would like, one of my goals is, I would really like to have my dad contact me, but that won't ever happen. I said, no. See, you just said it wouldn't. Now you want to change that he does. And he called me just around Christmas time one year, and he said, guess who called me and wants to come and visit at Christmas? And I said, probably your dad. And he said, yes. You see what I'm saying? It's all things are possible if we put it into the field. So anything that you choose to have, you know, that you see as a negative, then our job is to put it into the positive.
Well, folks, if you're from Canada, we have a toll-free number here, 888-815-9756, and we have a toll-free number no matter where you are in the U.S. You can call our toll-free number into our studio right now and speak with us, Charlene McNeil, Carolyn Evers, and that number is 877-876-5227. Charlene, without discussing individuals, I know you've been doing this work for a long time. What is perhaps one of your most interesting situations that you've worked with? What comes to mind?
Well, I guess what popped in really fast was I had a young man that came to see me, and the whole family had been in to see me before, but he had an eye, and most they would call it, sometimes call it a lazy eye. I didn't really know what the diagnosis was for it, but he had one eye that was right in the middle, right up against, would look into the, I'm trying to find which side, the left side, and it was just in the middle, not in the middle of the eye, but it would always point in towards the nostril, into the middle. In other words, like when they're cross-eyed, but it wasn't both eyes, it was just the one eye. And he came in and went in to ask God to correct it, and he said, well, it isn't the eyes, it's the muscle around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The muscle around the eye has been traumatized. And he showed me like a tricycle or a big wheel or something like that, it had wheels on it, and it had been hurt, and it had been traumatized enough that the muscles, it interfered with the memory in the muscles. And so he went in, God went in, and he cleared the memory in the muscles around the eyes, and he walked out with the whole family out there with the eye fine. And it just absolutely, I've been seeing the family ever since, or one thing or another, because it was such a grand thing. And then 2 weeks later, the grandma calls me and says, well, he wants to come and see you again. And I said, oh, what's happened? No, nothing. It's just that the other eye, the eyelid droops more on the other eye than that one now, and he wants that corrected. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what happened? We need to do some more work. And my first response, of course, was with the eye that had the issue. And it was, he just wanted one like the right eye like the left eye. No. And that one was fun. That was a fun one.
Well, you were talking about a trauma in this lifetime, but just a reminder to those who are listening, we can have traumas from past lifetimes that find their way into the subtle body, and it starts affecting the physical body because, as this reading said, the subtle body is part of the spirit world. It's spiritual. It is that part when the soul sent the blueprint of the physical down into this dimension, it had to step down the energies from the soul to the physical body, and that is how and why the subtle bodies came into being. And because that's in spirit, we can have trauma, as Charlene is discussing, from past lives reside there.
Usually if I find that, let's say that we work on an issue that a person has, say they're always having a pain in their left side, let's use that as an example, and they're always having it, and we go in and clear the organs in there, and or the tissue and the muscles, the tendons and ligaments. Also sometimes, though, it's been traumatized, might be the blood vessels as well that needs to have a better flow. And so God will go in and clear that and put it at the God intelligence. But if it continues and I see the person has come back in for it, then I know they're dealing in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, and sometimes it doesn't occur to have the change all at once, you're going to a different and deeper level. In other words, what you were saying, the other deeper levels might be into a past life. Or it could be into an ancestral memory that's in that cell. So you pull those, and then all of a sudden they don't have that anymore.
Well, of course, there's another aspect of that, too. You can't heal everything at once because the body would not be able to endure
right.
that.
You bring up a really good point, because I was having some physical problems, and I just told the Lord, well, you created the heavens and the earth, and why can't you take this away all at once? And he said, if you understood how the body was made, you would know that it couldn't be immediately, because you couldn't handle the transition that fast. And I thought, oh, okay, well, then it's got to go into patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be more patient, because God will do it if it's at a pace that will serve you best. So we have to be very aware that because of his great love for us, he's not going to do something at the time that's going to be harmful to us or put us in stress. I was in class one time, and, oh, we were setting all these wonderful goals, you know. You know, I have total recall at will. I'm gorgeous, I'm healthy, I'm strong, we're doing all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, we had our lists. And they came into class one day, the teachers, and said, well, we were just told we're moving you too fast ahead, giving you too many things, letting you do too many at once.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good example. So we had to back off just a little bit. Wasn't much, but it was a little bit.
Well, if you try... You know, sometimes a person will, like we're talking about, clear something, and you think that it's cleared and it's completed, and symptoms come forth again. It's not the same issue that's being cleared, but it's
right.
something.
It usually isn't the same issue.
Yeah, it's something from either another life or another pattern.
It's kind of interesting because we see our... As humans, we just see this physical body, but we don't see all the components that make up for it, which is called the cellular memory that is in all the cells. And we don't see all of those components that are in there that have got memory that need to be pulled out and put in a new information, because then it's not in there anymore. Right now, you know, all of us, you and Caroline and I, are seeing that, boy, God's having us do a lot in past lives and clearing our ancestors, big time right now because he wants it all done. And so many people are being cleared of so much right now. It's just amazing to me, more so than I've ever had before.
Well, while we're talking about clearing, so people might have a concept of what we're talking about, if you scan your body, you take your consciousness and move it up down through the different parts of the body, you might feel a discomfort someplace. You might even feel heat. You put your hand over a place and there might be a spot where there is heat and discomfort, discoloration sometimes. You might indicate that this is either a pattern that is surfacing or some event from the past that is surfacing that needs to be cleared. So I thought I'd mention that because I have found that in my own experience.
Well, I have with myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, we're all going to experience that. None of us are exempt from it because that's how we're made up of. We're made up of all the memories that have been transpired in our lifetimes. And so sometimes we don't clear it because that's one of the issues we didn't clear in a past life. So we come in with this life with that same experience, and now it's just like God's wanting it all cleared up. Because like you've talked about having the new earth before, it's we're all in that state of moving into a new dimension and a more loving and kind and nurturing dimension.
And we're taking our bodies with us.
Yes, and this time we're taking our bodies.
That's why all this clearing needs to be done.
Yeah, and the more we do it now, the better off we're going to be, because then we don't have to do it again. We've done it all. That's what is the marvelous thing about it right now,
mm-hmm.
is we don't have to say, oh, well, okay, I didn't get that done, so I've got to go in and do it again, because he's really making it possible for us to go in and get it all done now. So it's been really a wonderful transition that I've seen in people's lives.
Well, it's been a wonderful transition, but it's been a lot of work, too, because last year and this year, the energies have been quite intense that are
right.
coming to this planet. Well, apparently we said something that encouraged someone to call. And your name, caller?
Oh, it's Dominic from London.
Hi, Dominic.
Hello, hello.
What can we do for you, dear?
Okay, I've got a goal that hasn't been manifesting well.
Okay.
It's to write a book about a movie at CERM called Alien. It's about 1970.
Okay, your goal is to write a book about aliens?
A cinema movie called
uh-huh.
Alien.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been researching for many years about it, but I can't actually put the thing together. It's kind of a block in my mind that...
Well, tell me, Dominic, why do you think you haven't started writing this?
It's such a complicated maze. There's so many, 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 many layers to it. And, you know, it's a gigantic labyrinth to even gather all information and retain any of it in mind.
Have you put together an outline?
To some degree, but you know, it's like it's always evolving and changing, and you know, I think maybe it's something I'll have to kind of, I don't know, keep on going, and then sort of one day I'll die, and I'll publish it the following day, year or something.
We don't want that to happen. We want you to bring forth your dream, and that's
why I'm
talking about this, Dominic. I want to find out from your aspect what you have done so far to help bring this dream to fruition, because here you're talking about the writing of the script, not necessarily the merchandising of it or or working on selling it. You're talking about the writing aspect. And so I'm asking you what you have done so far to organize this.
Well, I keep writing and writing and writing, organizing things, but it seems that there are so many things that I, bits of information that I can't get access to, I suppose, that make it feel complete.
Maybe it's because you don't have the ending.
I suppose it'll be a kind of collection of the information.
Do you have an ending, Dominic? The reason why I say do you have an ending, because it's my understanding that that's a very important part of a script, is to know how it ends, because that is the lesson, so to speak. The ending, or those events leading up to the ending, is really the crux to the story. What comes before is like a crescendo leading up to the ending. And so what I'm asking you is, have you formulated the ending or the lesson, what people are to get out of the story? Have you done that yet?
Well, I find it hard to think about in terms like that. It's kind of endless collection of massive information. I suppose I compare it to Greek mythology.
He's got more than one book there.
You sure do. Did you hear what Charlene said?
I couldn't hear quite.
She says you've got more than one script.
Well, gosh,
more than one book.
It's about 50 books in one almost. I can't explain. It's like some gigantic multidimensional puzzle that I have put together, and it's only a cinema movie.
See, I think this is what's confusing you.
Yeah.
You've got all of this wrapped up in one instead of carving out a part of it.
Yeah, tell him to do it in four. I don't think he can hear me. Tell him he needs to put it into four books.
Okay. Well, Charlene is suggesting, because she doesn't think you can hear her because of the connection, divide this up. Perhaps bring it in four elements. Either four.
I see this as a
series. Could you divide this up into something that would bring forth what you want, but in a series?
Maybe, or maybe it's like I suppose that there are all these other things that are kind of related to it. And so, you know, you get one book with the information I want to put down, and then there are these other things that are kind of spin-offs in a way, like, I don't know, I suppose it would have to be like a series, but...
Dominic, have you done an outline?
Oh, gosh. I would say yes and no, because it's like I suppose there's all these different levels to it. So how can I outline some of the levels? And then the basic outline, but then it's like once you go off into these other dimensions of the whole thing, it's like how can you outline half of these things?
I think the problem that you're having is that you've got more than one story. You've got a series,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting them in your mind all in one bucket, so to speak,
and
or one basket.
Yeah, and it's causing confusion.
Yeah. Charlene says that's what's causing you confusion, that you are perceiving this as one project instead of perceiving it as a series. You know, like a train. You've got a train,
yeah.
you've got the engine, you have different cars behind it. You've got to divide this information up so that you've got a beginning and an end of the engine, a beginning and an end of the second car. You've got to divide it in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yes,
if you do that and make an outline of these different aspects,
mm-hmm.
you might then look at your different outlines and find an overall connecting theme. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Asking to have that God will send in some angels, writers, to help him.
Oh, excellent thought. Did you hear her, Dominic?
No, it's kind of a bit of a muffle. Yeah.
Okay, listen, I think this is an excellent idea. Charlene suggested that you ask God to send guides or angels who have experience in writing to help you organize this.
Okay, great idea.
Yes,
and
I love that.
They'll come in and help you.
Yes, they will. What Charlene is saying, and I agree, is if you ask, they will be sent to you to assist you.
I just heard, ask for Hemingway. He'll come in.
Oh, did you hear her?
I half heard something, but then it's just
okay,
like...
Okay, let me... Oh, you'll love this one. Ask that Hemingway be sent to assist you.
Okay, that's cool.
It is cool.
It is.
He heard this. Ask that Hemingway be asked to assist you to organize this. And then let us know how you're coming along with your project, because I think this has been ordained for you to do, Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to, you know, to see if I could tune into the mythologist Robert Graves to see if he could help me. And I suppose I have received some help, but sort of like, it's just, if I could interview the people who are actually involved in the movie, that would help me even more, but I don't even have that kind of connection.
Well, you do have a connection to spirit.
Okay, I remember that.
Ask for Hemingway. Now, wait a minute. What was the other question, Charlene?
Oh, I was going to say, tell him the books are already written.
Oh, yeah.
All you're going to do is bring it to the physical level.
Excellent thought, Charlene. Dominic, what Charlene said is these books and the scripts are already written. You're just bringing them into... you're just materializing them.
Yeah, you know, it's like hanging there for a good dozen years.
I wanted
my hand, and it's kind of floating there. Still not in my hand, but it's
mm-hmm.
almost kind of, you know, I've got 75% of the information, and I know how to wrap it up together, but then it's like these certain other things that, but, you know, I'll make sure I think about Hemingway and see how things fit together. Well, thank you very much.
You need help, and I think that you can get it from spirit, and you can also ask God to send you the connections to connect with those on this plane that can help you too.
Yes, and they'll do that.
Yeah, they'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll help connect you.
Well, thank you very much indeed. It's been lovely.
If you don't ask, you don't receive.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask, you'll receive.
I think when I seem to ask, in the way that for some reason I'm sending a signal that's out saying, don't give it to me, don't give it to me, I don't know how to handle it. And, you know, there is that kind of puzzle about the way I try to manifest things. And, you know, it's almost like I'm destroying them as soon as I try to get them into focus.
Charlene, does he have a block on materializing?
Yeah, that's what I've been picking up, is he has a fear associated with being able to handle the writing or the prestige that might come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
I don't know, but can you help him clear this?
Yes.
Okay, Dominic,
mm-hmm.
we're going to take a minute, and Charlene's going to go into the quantum field, ask God to help clear the fear that you have associated with this project.
Uh-huh. Yes, there was something else. Some person commissioned me to do a portrait of another dimensional friend of his. And, gosh, it took me like 6 weeks to get that drawing together, and I just felt throttled by all this kind of, I don't know, fear or whatever was in me. That
yeah, but would you agree you're stepping in, you're in your own way?
Yes, I'm stepping off into, floating off into the abyss, where all these things are.
You're your own worst enemy in this.
Yes.
You're putting up your own block.
Right.
So
indeed.
Charlene's going to work now, see if she can help you clear work with in the quantum field helping you to clear this?
Part of it is allowing his higher self that already knows how to do it to come forward and work on the physical plane.
Good. Good thought. Did you hear that, Dominic?
Yeah,
I don't think you can hear me.
Okay, let me repeat it, because I don't think you heard Charlene say it, and I think this is super. What she received is that you have to bring in your higher self to help and direct you.
Okay.
So meditate, ask your higher self to come forth and direct this.
Because his higher self already knows how to do it.
Now, what Charlene is also adding, Dominic, is your higher self already knows how to do this.
Okay.
It's just bringing it to the physical plane.
Yeah, your higher self knows how to do it. It's
I have to catch up.
It's bringing it to the physical.
Right.
So ask your higher self to, come in and direct you and lead you. I mean, you've got it all there waiting for you.
Yes, it is. I believe that I do have contact with my higher self, but it's like there's an element of my mind that's very cynical about anything that I receive. You know, I do find things manifesting, but there's this cynical element of my mind that kind of kicks in.
He just said it.
Yeah.
Okay, tell him what's happening is, whenever we have goals for ourselves, what we do is we have a tendency to go in and let the analytical, all-knowing ego brain say, what if I do this and that doesn't turn out? We go in and analyze it to death.
Did you hear this, Dominic?
I did.
Okay. So you're using your...
it to death.
Yeah,
so then it doesn't happen. What I want you to do is stay out of the left brain. But see, you're a writer, which means that you have to use that in order to write. But you don't go in and reason it out. You just go in and do.
Okay.
That steps out of ego and lets God in. If you step out of ego, you can let God do. Okay, so let's go in and clear that for you.
Oh, great.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, this is interesting. Charlene is going to work on that for you, Dominic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I want to see you have success with this.
Yeah, it's like over the years, you know, I've learned all these kind of abilities to do channeled drawings and channeled writings and see information, but the sort of analytical part of it kind of destroys everything.
Yes, this is what she's saying.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's like, how can I sort of stop this analytical thing busting everything up?
It's really not weird. It's one of these things that humans do.
Yeah.
Instead of having faith that we're able to do this and just go do it, our analytical mind keeps telling us that we can't and offers explanations and reasons as to why we can't.
Mm-hmm. I suppose one thing is I'm so used to most of my friends, you know, that so few of them have any kind of other dimensional connections in their lives, and they're mostly kind of analytical in their day-to-day living. And I'm kind of used to probably communicating on that level and accepting those kind of parameters and conversing about normal day-to-day life.
Well, Dominic, epochs ago, the brain was divided to the right and left side. There was a time when it wasn't. There was a time when it was integrated, but it was divided into the right side and to the left side, and we have to now learn how to use the spiritual information, which is inspiration, to come in and work with our inspiration and not let our reasoning, analytical side of our mind destroy what we are receiving spiritually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I have communication with a spirit guide of mine, and you know, it's like she's there, sort of helping me to make sure I keep all the inspiration ideas while they're kind of still in the other dimension, but I don't know, make sure I care for them without and not let the analytical element destroy them.
Dominic, see yourself as one who is doing this writing and is successful with it.
Yeah.
Put another name on it if you want to. Don't call it Dominic.
Okay.
What's got there, Shirlene?
Well, went out there and cleared you and put your higher self in charge.
Wow. Okay.
Because your higher self is not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have too much of the physical and the mental body was in the way.
Uh-huh.
So now your higher self's in charge, and you'll be able to, and it put in that you'll be relaxed, and it's almost like I could see the energy coming down through your crown chakra, and it was entering all of your body energy field and then into your hands, and you'll sit down and start writing.
Oh, I
well,
love it.
I can feel the difference
like
in the energy now.
Spontaneously falling in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, it feels like I got a kind of candlelight here with the crown chakra right now, and it's bad.
Yeah, just pick up the pen and start.
Okay. Well,
as soon as you get off, as soon as you enter that energy field where you picked up the pen or on the computer, whichever you use, you've started the energy flow.
Uh-huh.
And it'll go into your hands, okay?
Well, put your foot on the gas pedal, Dominic, and let us get started, dear.
Okay. Well, I'll let you go now.
Like, immediately.
Okay.
I mean, if you pick up a pen and write something, even if just a line, you started the energy flow.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
So good luck, and let us know how it goes.
Okay. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's really interesting to watch Dominic to see how he has grown over
the times that
we've spoken to him.
Yeah. Isn't that been amazing?
Really?
I mean, from the first time we heard from him on Wednesday until now, look what he's in the process of creating.
Indeed, it's been amazing.
I see that all the time. It's just like one miracle after another in people's lives. It's just incredible.
It really is.
Isn't it, though?
I'd like to remind the people online to tune into my show tomorrow, Messenger. We will have a special guest, Dr. Richard Presser, who has a remarkable book and a website, The Coming Golden Age. I think you will love hearing about his book and what he's all about as an individual. So tune in tomorrow. We have another caller. And your name?
This is Lila.
Oh, hi, Lila.
Hi, Ann. Listen, you know, you made an offer that... I'd really love to speak to my angel, the guardian angel, and I was so surprised when the Lord said that when we were created, that angel was appointed to us, and he's been with us throughout every lifetime. And so I'd really love to know him. But I want to ask a question first, and that is, I learned a long time ago that we also have with us what's called a familiar spirit. Like when they have a seance and a medium calls in the dearly departed, it's the one that answers very often is the familiar spirit, which is also with the person. And I don't know if they're appointed to be with the person from the beginning, but they're from the dark side.
So what's the question, Lila?
Yeah, can you make a clarification on that?
She wants a clarification on a familiar spirit, and to be honest with you, it's not something that I'm familiar with.
What she's saying either.
She's speaking low. She's talking about a dark entity that will be with us lifetime after lifetime, a familiar spirit. And I don't know, do you have anything to say about that, Shirlene?
Well, sometimes that's a possibility, but you can also ask them to leave. They can't stay without your permission. Is that what Lila, is that what you're asking?
Lila,
yeah.
Explain yourself. See, the way you gave that explanation, I had the sense that what you're stating is that we all have a familiar spirit, and they're with us lifetime after lifetime, like a guardian angel.
I don't know if it's with us lifetime after lifetime, but at least for that one particular lifetime, they say when the medium calls in that spirit, it's a spirit that has been with them and is familiar with all the little secret things that they've done. So the person who's listening is convinced that is they're talking to the real person, the dearly departed. And
Lila,
they're actually talking
I'm really getting confused now. I think it's what you're asking me. You're talking about somebody who gives seances. Is this with a question?
No, it's just wondering what a familiar spirit is. Because I'm interested in communicating with my guardian angel. But I was just wondering, is there a familiar spirit with us also that is very familiar with every moment of our lives?
If you're talking about some negative entity, are you talking about a negative entity?
It must be. They say familiar spirit. It comes from, like, the occultic world and not the spiritual.
Well, where negative spirits are concerned, as Charlene was mentioning to you, people can have an agreement with them, but it's not something that is going to be desirable, in my humble opinion.
No, it's not. Certainly not desirable.
Well,
but it just seems that...
Then it's not necessary to participate in that.
No, you can say
no. It's just that I've been, you know, reading for many, many years that there is such a thing as a familiar spirit, and that they also are with you during your whole lifetime and are very familiar with you. So I just thought you might have some insight into that and that you might be able to elucidate.
Well, from my point of view, as Charlene said, only if someone is agreeable to that and willing to work with that and desiring that. If it's not something that a person wants to do, they don't have to. Personally, I would want to be aligned with those of the light and not...
Oh, of course, yeah.
So,
but if you... Okay, let's say that you're aware that that's going on. You ask them to leave.
I've never had any experience with it. It's just a curiosity I'm asking. Uh-huh. I have no personal interest. I'm just wondering, you know, it's something that I've always wondered about, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
a familiar spirit.
Yeah, if a person feels like they've got that kind of influence, then you can tell them to leave. You have the physical body, and because of the physical body, you have the free agency or free will to tell that spirit to leave.
Yeah, but most people just aren't aware it's there. That's what I'm saying.
Well, let me say this. There's many arrangements between and among souls. As Charlene has said, God has given us free agency here to a certain extent, as long as it's not against universal law. And so souls make arrangements. Some are desirable, some are not. And
uh-huh. Okay, but my main thing is I wanted to know how to get in touch with my own guardian angel.
You know, I think that's a good idea. Why don't we go with something that is positive?
Certainly, yeah, that's what I want to know. But I just thought I'd ask about the other.
Yeah, my own feeling is, why explore something that's negative? Let us stay with the positive.
Okay,
Lila. I've got to concentrate now. I'm actually seeing two guardian angels. They're standing now on your left side, one closer to you, and another kind of standing behind that one and off to the side. And what they are telling me is that the one that is closest to you is the one that has the responsibility of connecting and guiding you with the work in your many lifetimes that you have accomplished. The one that is standing behind that one is, you might say, like a helper. That one goes out and or has.
He's like a what?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I didn't hear what you said. You said the second one is like a what?
Is like a helper. They have gone out in, well, like through many of your past lifetimes. These two have been with you through your different lifetimes. The one that is standing the closest to you has the full responsibility of working closely with you. The one that is standing in the back has been like an assistant that has come and gone. It comes and goes when the need arises for a particular reason. They help bring events. They have helped bring events into your life in the past that there were times when you lived lifetimes, you might say, as a recluse. Some might have called it a hermit. Some might have called it an introspective type of a life. When you led those lifetimes, the one that is closest to you stayed with you and worked with you. When you led lifetimes where you were more out working in the public domain, you might say, not reclusive, but in the public, the second one came and gave you assistance.
I see.
Now, Lila, have you had any sense at all of your guardian angel? Because I really feel that you have.
I very, very, very slight. I think I saw him once.
We're not talking about sight, though that is good if you felt that you've seen them. I'm thinking more of this sense of protection. It seems to me that you have a very strong sense of being guided and protected by your guardian angel. Do you not?
I really do.
I've
had so many experiences in my life that I think I would have lost it were it not for a guardian angel.
Well, this is the aspect that I see that is very strong with you. And what your guardian angel is saying is trust that this sense that you have of being protected, being guided, being guarded is the workings of your guardian angel with you in this close rapport. And when you feel anxiety, because you have been feeling anxieties, and when you feel frightened of events that you are not certain of, to think of this protection, think of this guidance, have confidence that your guardian angel is with you. Now, this is the message that your guardian angel wants me to relay to you, because you've gone through periods of anxiety, have you not?
Yes.
Yes, you have felt anxious. There are times when you feel frightened because you're not certain of what the future might bring. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. And so what your guardian angel is saying, here's what your guardian angel is showing me. Your guardian angel is showing me as if you're walking down the street, and right behind you, your guardian angel is walking right in the same footsteps that you have taken. It's like you're leaving a footprint behind, and your guardian angel is right there, right behind you, stepping step with your pace. And I am sensing this male showing him, yes, angels are androgynous, but he is showing himself to me as the male perspective, very protective of you. And he is showing me now he has a sword in his hand. He is there ready to defend you. Now, take a moment.
I really want to know how to communicate with him.
Okay, now take a moment. You're very tense, Lila, and that's understandable. You're on the radio right now, and don't think about being on the radio. Think about you are alone in a room with just you and your guardian angel, and I want you to take a couple deep breaths. Just relax. Exhale all of your tensions, and just stay focused. No one is here. No one is listening. It is just you and this protector that has been with you through all of the different levels of time. Now, have you exhaled? Have you? Do you see all this tension leaving?
Yes.
Okay. Your guardian angel right now is standing in front of you, Lila. He has his sword up in his left hand, which means he would be facing you on your right hand. Right now, he is sending an energy flow to you from his left hand through his sword to your right hand. He's very beautiful. He's got long hair, a flowing robe. There's white and pink in it. The sword is golden. He's very handsome. And I see this energy that is flowing into your hands. It is energizing you. Do you feel anything there?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable with
yes.
knowing that he is there guarding you and defending you?
Well, definitely.
Okay. He is saying, Lila, that any time that you feel sad, because there are moments when you feel sad and frightened and afraid, that just go to a quiet place. If you want to, you can play some soothing music. Breathe, take some deep breaths. Allow all of the tension to leave you because you hold that in. He's saying it's very important to release this tension so that you can communicate with him. And so listen to some nice music, maybe light a candle, be relaxed. You might even, after you take a bath and you feel refreshed and relaxed, maybe that's a good time to try and connect with him.
Could you tell me what his name is?
Let me see. I don't know if he'll tell me. Wait a minute. I'm not sure, Lila.
Sounds like Joshua.
It's a biblical name. I am not sure. I was going to say Abraham, but I'm not sure.
I've been calling him Benjamin.
It's definitely a biblical name. Why don't you do this, Lila? Practice a little bit on this and see if you get a name from him. I really think the reason I'm not getting a clear name of this is because he wants you to hear him. He wants you to be able to recognize his essence and receive the name, but I really do believe it's a biblical name. He's there to console you. He's telling you that you worry too much. Have faith. He's putting out his hand right now, and he is saying that God is holding you in the palm of their hand. Don't worry. Trust. My darling, we have to go off the air right now, dear. Call us again.
Okay, honey. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Charlene.
Goodbye, dear.
Real quick,
bye-bye.
Charlene, give us your number, darling.
Oh, Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346.
And friends, do go to carolynevers.com. Look at our conference calls, the books that we have. They really are very enlightening. And so, my friends, until the next time, tune in tomorrow. Listen to Dr. Richard Presser. And, Charlene, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me into your homes today.
Yes, and thank all of you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.